The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger as we bring you the 2009 NFL and college football season in style. We've got you covered with game insight, opinion, and football expertise. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
There is no bigger honor than to go into the professional Hall of Fame or college Hall of Fame.
Each week, the Big E Sports Show will take you under the helmet to bring you the latest talk on the 2009 season of college and pro football.
Is there maximum effort out there? Because that's one thing you don't have to be talented at. You don't need talent to try hard. And that's the thing that I'm looking for out of them this year.
Under the Helmet with Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell taking you through the weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next guest, he's one of our favorites for sure. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Some great stuff on there. You can also go to our next guest website. That, of course, is jasonpeter.com. He is our Husker hero. Jason, we let you have the week off last week, but it's so great to have you back on. How are things? I know you just got back in town from California.
Things are good. Weather in Lincoln is in the 70s, so I can get out there and golf a little bit. A lot better than coming back home to Lincoln, Nebraska and finding about 4 feet of snow on the ground. So this is a nice change from the long, cold winter that we had.
Well, we certainly did have a brutal winter down here in Fort Worth. So, and I do want to kind of pick your brain and get your thoughts on the Masters from last weekend. But I think some of the biggest news for sure is what's been going on with Jerry Jones, of course, being caught. He was ambushed with the video of Jerry being Jerry, and it was not favorable, to say the least. Your impressions of that and your take?
It doesn't shock me, right? I mean, this is Jerry Jones, and he's got a personality, and people either love him or they hate him. Now, Bill Parcells has come out. You know, I guess he's been told, or he's watched the video, or whatever it is. But he seems to act like it's no big deal that Jerry Jones and Bill Parcells have a friendship, and he knows how Jerry Jones really feels. So, was this just kind of an act? Is this part of Jerry's act? Is that safe to say that this is just him with his personality in a room full of people that are drinking? I don't see any reason to go there. I don't see any reason why you would kind of throw Bill Parcells under the bus, whether you like him or you don't like him. He kind of resurrected that franchise there, because they were struggling prior to Bill Parcells getting there. I think they had 3-5-11 seasons in a row, and Bill Parcells comes in and kind of changes the mentality, changes the franchise really from top to bottom, gives them a whole new mindset, and now you have Dallas Cowboys, who once again are an important team in the grand scheme of things in the NFL. So I think you just got to look at this thing as Jerry being Jerry.
One of the big question marks that everybody's talking about in the sports world, is this newsworthy? People should they be airing? Should they be showing this video?
I think so. I do. I mean, you have an owner of an NFL franchise, and not just any owner. I mean, this is a guy, if you stop to 30 people on the street and ask them to name 3 NFL owners, I would say that Jerry Jones has the best chance of being named by every one of those 30 people. I mean, he's one of the more popular owners, not just in the NFL, but in all of sports. So when you have an owner that basically is throwing an old coach, and not just any old coach, this is a Hall of Fame coach. This is a guy that wins wherever he goes. And in his own right, Bill Parcells, he's got a personality too. I mean, I don't know if Bill Parcells would be in any position to criticize Jerry Jones for this, because this is the same coach who used to call his players she. she caught a nice pass. She made a nice block. I mean, so he's got his own problems, or not really problems, but his own way of dealing with things. So I don't know if Bill Parcells is in the right position here to be upset. And quite honestly, I don't think he probably even cares.
Jason Peter is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And of course, we're talking about the ambush video of Jerry Jones. And also he made comments about, and it was really not breaking news, Jason, Tony Romo, that he was a miracle. But also the fact that he did talk about Tim Tebow, that he would not be drafted by the Cowboys and he would never see time on the field.
Well, there's 31 other teams that can draft Tim Tebow. I'm sure he regrets that part because you're talking about just a young man who really has done nothing wrong. He's gone out, he's competed. He hasn't had an opportunity to play in the NFL yet, so you don't know whether or not he's going to succeed or not. And Jerry Jones is entitled to his own opinion, but you would think that he would know better than to throw a player that he's never coached, that he probably hasn't spent more than 10, 15 minutes with at any given time. It was, I think, wrong of him to even be talking about him in public negatively. I think, you know, you can go back to what all of our mothers used to say, and it's if you don't have anything nice to say about somebody, don't say it at all. You know, he can criticize his own players, or he can kind of glorify his own players like he did with Romo, and if I'm not mistaken, you know, Tony Romo, a hero. I don't know if he's, or is there a secret league that's going on where Tony Romo has won Super Bowls, because I'm not aware of him being a Super Bowl winning quarterback, so I don't know how much of a hero he is just yet.
Well, it is interesting, too, you know, when we talk about Timmy Tebow, that they're saying that his stock is continuing to rise, that perhaps that he could be projected in the first round. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, Jason, we were talking about this. People are saying, hey, he's going to be a third or fourth rounder. But why is his stock rising so much?
Well, I think he's been able to show coaches that he can take coaching. He can adjust his throwing motion. I mean, look, there's no question that this kid is a leader. He's going to go down as one of the greatest college football players ever to play the game, whether people like it or not. That's just the truth of it all. And you know, I think the questions with Tim Tebow have always been, well, his throwing motion and the offense that he runs. Well, I think sometimes we dissect that too much, and sometimes you get away from the guy, is he just a good football player? Can he go out? Can he make plays? Can he lead? And I think those are the things that you can mark all yes for when you're talking about Tim Tebow. And, you know, guys that can compete at that sort of level like he did in college, I think you're crazy if you think that with the right coaching that he can't be some package, some part of NFL team's offense some way or another. If you have a good coach, if you have good coaches on your staff on an NFL franchise, you should be able to figure ways to get this kid involved and let him help you win football games.
Well, certainly he is a fast riser, but one of the things, of course, you played in the NFL for several years. How different was it, Jason, when you did arrive, and just the pace, that how fast the game is, and how different it is from the college level?
It is. I mean, that's the biggest thing is the speed of the game. I always used to, when people asked me to describe the difference, I would say, well, as a defensive lineman, when you're in college and the ball snaps, you're able to engage the offensive lineman, get separation on him, and kind of peek over a shoulder and find the ball carrier, or find wherever the ball is, whether the quarterback has it or a running back or a receiver is running reverse. In the NFL, by the time, if you play a play the same way that I just described in college and you get to peeking over an offensive lineman's shoulder, that ball's gone already. That ball has already hit the hole, and it's already at the second level. You just almost have to there's got to be a little bit of you where you're just guessing almost at times. You have to trust, I think, that the offense and the guys that you're playing are running the play the correct way, and they're trying to block you the correct way. And if you can recognize what they're trying to do, you can put yourself in position to make the play. And, you know, it's the difference is like night and day. I mean, it's just the speed of the game. It just everything hits the hole just so much faster. And obviously guys are bigger, faster, stronger. And, you know, in college you get weeks where you're playing against a guy who might be selling shoes after he graduates. When you play in the NFL, you don't get any weeks off. Every single week you're playing against top-notch competition.
And, of course, you played with the Carolina Panthers, and George Seifert was your coach. How different was that playing for him as opposed to Tom Osborne?
Yeah, it was a lot different. And even to throw Dom Capers into the mix, who I had as a rookie, I enjoyed all three coaches. Obviously, with Tom Osborne, he's a guy who lives his life with faith very much first, and his relationship with God, and Dom Capers, and George Seifert, both of them not really so much like that. Not saying that they don't have a relationship with God or they don't have faith in their life, but maybe they don't speak about it as much as Tom Osborne did. But, you know, they all did something different. They all excelled, I think, at different things. George Seifert is somebody people always want to know because he's connected to those great teams in San Francisco. And a lot of guys during my time in Carolina didn't like George Seifert because they thought he should be engaging more with the players and talking, asking them, how's your kids, or how's the wife, how's the family? And he was very much businesslike. He was, when we step on this field, it's bam, 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 bam. We're running from this station to that station to that station. Very much just handle your business, do your job, and then go home and do whatever you do. And I appreciated that. He's a guy who appreciated hard work. He was a guy who didn't want nonsense when you stepped out on that field. And you know, him and I, we always got along. There was never any rift between George and I. And I'll always think he was a great coach, even though we never had great teams down there. I think as far as him and in that role of head coach, I think he's one of the good ones.
A guy that is taking a lot of risks these days, of course, is the quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is Ben Roethlisberger. We definitely wanted to get your thoughts on his situation. I mean, how should the NFL deal with him? Should there be some repercussions? I mean, the media, all the attention that's going to this, it's not a good thing, kind of a black eye for the whole organization, is it?
Oh, absolutely. I think the Rooney family is majorly embarrassed here with this. You know, he already has an ongoing lawsuit with the whole deal out in, where is it, Lake Tahoe, I believe, with the one girl who has accused him of a sexual assault or rape. And now you have this. You know, following the whole thing with the motorcycle a few years ago, too, and absolutely, he deserves to be punished. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 game suspension, whatever it is. I mean, you know, is that going to fix the problem? Probably not. I think you probably have a guy here who thinks that he can do whatever he wants. And, you know, you hear stories now and not. It's not me climbing up on the rumor mill here, but you hear stories about Pittsburgh business owners, bar owners, restaurant owners, and a lot of them now have come out and spoken about their experiences with Ben Roethlisberger, and a lot of them are not too positive. I mean, Terry Bradshaw, who's a Steeler legend, he's made it known in public about his relationship with Roethlisberger, and I think you just find that there's a pattern here happening with him, and you know, how he got off, I don't know, or how he got out of this last one, I know that the woman has kind of said, I guess, all the media attention that has been brought about this whole thing, that it's kind of made her back off. At least that's what her lawyer has said, that it by no means changes what happened on that night, but she just doesn't want to be part of the media circus. And as we all know, I mean, it's guaranteed that it's going to be a circus around Roethlisberger and everything that he does. But, I think when you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they've got to be embarrassed by this. And I've got to imagine that he'll be on a zero-tolerance type policy if there's another little slip-up. I would imagine that the Rooneys would be looking to move him, if they haven't already put some feelers out to see if there was anybody that's interested. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to last a long, long time even after Ben Roethlisberger is done. There'll be another quarterback that comes in, and there'll be another quarterback that wears number 7. The players come and go, but a franchise like the Pittsburgh Steelers, that will probably be there forever.
There is always movement, and not one player is greater than the organization. Very well said. Jason Peter is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, it is our Under the Helmet segment, and I know it's a big weekend in Lincoln, Nebraska, because you guys got your spring game getting underway, and I'm glad some sunshine has come through, because that's going to make it a whole lot more fun for those Husker boys.
Yeah, I think they're expecting almost another sellout crowd for a spring game. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
I mean, it's not just here at Nebraska. It's all over. Alabama with their A game down there. They're year after year, they're selling out the joint down there. And, a bunch of schools now. It's become, I guess, the big thing to do in the spring. But for Nebraska, I think a lot of expectations for this year, and people are going to be showing up at Memorial Stadium on Saturday expecting to see a much improved team from last year, and it's a team that was very, very good on defense, very, very bad on offense, and people are going to be expecting to see, I think, better execution, better football players, plain and simple, on that offensive side of the ball. And it all starts with the quarterback situation. Last year was atrocious with Zach Lee. And not just putting all the blame on him, but obviously when you're the quarterback, you're probably going to get most of the blame. As if the team did well, you'd get most of the glory as well. But certainly he did not play up to a level that this team needs him to play up to. So he's missed this spring football year, and he had surgery on his throwing shoulder, I believe. So the young freshman from Denton, Texas, Cody Green, who started a game last year, actually started two games. He started the Baylor game where Nebraska won, and then he started the Oklahoma game here, except they subbed him out fairly quickly. I think he was in a little bit too much over his head there. But Cody Green has been taking most of the reps, but the kid that I like, who I think is the dark horse to win this job, and from what I've seen down at practice, from when I go and check them out, Taylor Martinez. He is he's a redshirt freshman from California, and this kid has got a burst like I haven't seen on a quarterback probably since Tommy Frazier.
Really?
He can flat out fly, and for me, that's fine with me. I mean, he'll be able to throw the ball, but for me, I want Nebraska to be that physical power running team. I want them to run an offense similar as to what Florida did down there with Tebow. And a lot of that has to do with the quarterback being able to run the football. And from what I saw out of this kid, and not to say that he can't throw the ball well, he can throw the ball fairly well, but he's much more advanced running at this stage in his career. But he's the guy who come all end of August, early September, I would not be surprised to see this kid lining up behind center.
We've only got a couple more minutes with Jason Peter, our Under the Helmet segment. Again, we want to direct you to our radio website. That's eradiosports.com. You can go to Jason Pease as well. That is jasonpeter.com. I have not had a chance to look at overall the schedules within the Big 12 Conference, but do you know, I mean, who is in your guys' non-conference schedule with the Huskers this year?
The non-conference is fairly embarrassing, other than Washington.
Come on, Jay, be positive.
September 18th, we go out to Washington, but to start the season off, September 4th, we have Western Kentucky here at Memorial Stadium, and then we follow that up with the barn burner. Idaho is coming to town. And then the following week, Washington, like I said, and then before we kick off Big 12 season, we have South Dakota State coming into town.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's going to be a doozy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and when do you guys play the Sooners this year?
Oklahoma game is not for another 2 years. That is the system that they have with the Big 12 since the merger. With Oklahoma being in the South, everybody's kind of on that two-year rotation. So, the series will pick up again in, what year are we, 2010? It'll pick up again in 2012.
Okay, we've got 60 seconds left, Jason Peter. Your thoughts on the Masters this past weekend? Certainly a very dramatic and an emotional finish with Phil Mickelson bringing home the big prize.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a guy on the tour who deserves it maybe more, even though he's already got a couple green jackets. Just with everything that he's been through with his wife and breast cancer and Lefty, he's a good guy, right? I mean, he's the opposite of Tiger Woods. I mean, that's the image. That's, I think, what people that's the way they look at Phil Mickelson. But I mean, gosh, are you kidding me? That shot on 13 where he just split kind of two of those pines and put it right up there on that green. Unbelievable. You sit there and you're just amazed at the things that some of these guys can do with that golf ball. I go out every other day and try to get around in, and every time I come home and I'm disappointed, and then I get really disappointed when I turn on the golf channel and I watch these guys drive the ball 330, 40 yards. It's just unbelievable what they can do.
Well, it is unbelievable, and you're exactly right how Phil Mickelson was able to thread the needle on that shot. It was spectacular. Jason, I'm going to be doing the playoffs next weekend, so we will catch up with you the week after next, and all of our best to your family. We always love having you on, and we'll talk to you here real soon.
Thanks for having me on, E.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Stay close.